Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk. We need to start with a little story here. And so there's a couple, Larry and Chrissy Waters, married couple. They're from northwest of our country. They're out there, out in the deep winter, up in like North Dakota, somewhere like that. True story. And Larry was driving. He had to get to his cabin, and he drove his car there. The lake had been long frozen over, and so cars can drive over, but he had a healthy fear of, hey, just not wanting to risk anything on the lake. And so he didn't drive his car, despite the fact there was car tracks across the lake to his cabin. And so he left the car, got his four-wheeler out. Chrissy got on the back, and they began to speed across the lake to their cabin. And as they were going, something felt strange, something odd, and suddenly he couldn't help but hear, even over the roar of the four-wheeler, the cracking of the ice. And then before he knew what to do, the ice broke before him. The four-wheeler nosedived into the lake, and it immediately sank to the bottom. And Larry and Chrissy were just trying to fight to the top. And as they did, they're grabbing on to sections of ice. But when they grabbed onto something, it would break off, and it would break off. And suddenly their boots and stuff are filled up with water, and they're beginning to get weighed down. And as they're grasping to grab ice, they're becoming exhausted as kind of the hypothermia is setting in, until finally they just lost all hope. And Larry grabbed a hold of Chrissy. He gave her a kiss, and he said, "I love you." And then they left themselves to die. And I begin by that with that story because I feel like that's many Christians' experience. That, man, you love God and you're in, but you find in your life you're flailing and trying so hard to grab onto something, and you feel like there's nothing firm that you can grab onto in your life. And like Larry and Chrissy, you feel like you're sinking. And my hope is this morning that I will that God would do something in your life, give you something that would strengthen you to live the victorious Christian life. And so we're going to answer one question today, I hope, and that's this: what is a mina? All right? And so if you're new to church and all that's going to be really weird. I want you to remember it. So I never do this. Actually, I hate when pastors do this. You can just turn to somebody and say, "Hey, what's a mina? Would you do that for me?" Great. Great. All right, I promise I will never do that again. All right, but I want you to, what's a mina? And so hopefully we can find out, and our mina will give us the strength to live victoriously. And so, Lord, we just pray for grace and strength today, Lord, that you would do your work. In your name, amen. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19. I'll start in verse 11. If I can catch you up, if you remember, Jesus is on his way marching to Jerusalem, and he's going there. But there's a lot of confusion as to why he's going, because his disciples and all his followers, they're thinking Jesus is going to Jerusalem and he's going to be named king. It's going to go a little different. And so Jesus is trying to let them know, hey, it's not what you expect. And so he begins in Luke chapter 19, verse 11. Jesus says, "As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable." A parable is a story with a point. He says this: "Because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately." So they had a different view of what Jesus was going to Jerusalem for, and they thought, man, he's going to be crowned king. But how many know he was going to wear a crown? It was just going to be a different crown. It was going to be a crown of thorns. And they're like, he's going to go, and they're going to set him upon the throne. But instead, they hung him upon the cross. They thought they're going to come in and they're going to cry out, "Hosanna." It means "come, king, save." And they would do that. But then a few short days after that, they would cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And so it looked real different than people thought. But you see, because the reality is Jesus was marching into Jerusalem, not at this point to be named King of Kings, but he came to be the Lamb of God that would be slain on our behalf. Much different view. And the reason why I want to reference this is because if you don't understand the timeline, where we're at in the story, it can lend itself to a great deal of confusion. And so there's this theological term called this, that we currently live in the already and the not yet. The already, not yet. And here's what that means, is that when Jesus died on the cross, that the kingdom of God had been inaugurated, it had started, it had begun, but it was not yet consummated till he comes again, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. All right, so the kingdom began, but it's still incomplete and it's on its way. Does that make sense? And so it's the kingdom already, not yet. And so the disciples had this wrong view of what Jesus was going to do when he came to Jerusalem. And how many know, if you have a long perspective, you don't know where we're at on the timeline, it could lend itself to confusion. Like, can we agree that the disciples had a little bit of spiritual vertigo where they just couldn't get their bearings because Jesus was crucified? And so disheveled was Peter. He's going to deny Jesus three times. And in fact, all of them that confess their undying loyalty to Jesus, they're going to scatter. And so I've seen at times in walking the Christian life, when we don't understand where we're at in God's story, that it can lend itself to spiritual confusion and vertigo. And it's like, God, what are you doing? And if you'll permit me, like, this is too broad a stroke, but I think it'll help illustrate. If there's a spectrum on our Christian walk, and so if you get the one individual who's just hyper spiritual. And they have this hodgepodge theology where they got a little bit of Joel Osteen, a little bit of Benny Hinn, a little bit of this from TBN, and they got this hodgepodge Christianity, and then they walk around and they don't understand where they fit in the story, like where we're at. And so everyone's got to be rich and everyone's got to be perfectly healthy, and then if they're not, hey, sorry, bozo, like you just don't have enough faith. And so when you do that, it comes across, it can be very confusing. And if I could be frank with you, it's strange to people outside of these four walls. And then if you were honest, if that's you in here, you would have to step back and look at your life. You're like, I believe that there's a lot more power, and I don't know why I'm not walking in it. Right? And so there's that individual on that end. But then if you fast forward as well, the opposite end is the person who, hey, I'm a Christian, but I'm a spiritual victim. I don't believe in any power. God's not alive today. And listen, I want no part of that. Give me the hyper-spiritual guy. Like, if I'm sick or something, I want to hang with that dude. But we get these two extremes. And what I hope to do is kind of bring us and understand where we're at. That the kingdom has begun, that God has given us power. We're going to read about exousia, authority in the earth. But listen, it's not yet done. And so right now, you and I, we have faith. But you know what? There's coming a time where we're going to have sight. Right now, we believe, but there's coming a time I don't have to believe anymore. I know. There's coming a time. So right now, sin's power has been broken through the cross of Jesus Christ. But can I get a solid amen? How many know sin's presence is still very much here? But there's coming a time when God's going to remove the very presence of sin from the earth, and you and I will be holy. And so that's coming. And so if I could I always got to bring it back to hockey stories. And so I shared this with a group of our leaders. And my very first training camp, I mean, I was a little bit nervous. I'm like 19 years old, playing with all these guys. They got beards and no teeth. And so I remember we're playing, and I'm thinking, wow, I'm doing pretty good. And there's this really scary guy there, like no teeth. And I'm like, who is this guy? And so we're playing, and he inadvertently got someone hit him with a stick in the face. And it cut him. And we're playing a game. And suddenly he looks at me. He stops. He's like, hey, am I bleeding? I'm like, bro, we're playing hockey. What do you think? Like, I couldn't believe it. He was like shocked that he got like cut in a hockey game. And so I think I don't want you to be shocked when we live in a sinful, broken world. And sometimes you get hit with that. And so here's what I choose to look at things. I expect victory, but I'm never surprised by difficulty. And I think that's how we walk as people of God. And so here, let me give you, we're going to read Jesus' parable, but I need to give you the story behind the story. I don't know if you, how many are paying attention, but There's a new ABC series that is going to begin. It's produced by Marcia Clark. Do we remember her? OJ trial. And so she's doing it. It's called, I believe it's called The Fix. And now follow me on the storyline that there's an African-American movie mogul who is accused of a double homicide. I'm like, man, that sounds familiar, right? And so the point of it is this. Jesus is going to tell a story, and I need you to know the background that he's speaking this story into, because he's going to tell the story about a nobleman who is pronounced king, but he needs to go and receive his kingship. And yet there's a group of people that they say, we don't want you to be our king. And then he's going to go on to say, that king is going to come back, and those people are going to be slaughtered. And so let me give you the background to that. I'm a little Christian history. You ready for this? I don't know if you've heard of a guy named Herod. If you're reading the Gospels, he's all over the place. Here's what you need to know. There's multiple Herods in the Bible. And so the first one we read about is this guy, Herod the Great. He's before Jesus is born and a little bit into Jesus's life. And Herod the Great, he was a wicked, wicked lunatic. All right. And if you don't believe me, well, let me give you his resume. So he had multiple wives, but his favorite wife was Miriam. And he had Miriam killed. And then afterwards, he would walk the halls of the palace crying out for Miriam. He would send for his servants and say, please fetch me my wife Miriam. And they're like, she's dead. His favorite son, he drowned in a spa because he thought he might try to take his throne. And then we can go on and on. So here's another one. You have read about Herod in Matthew chapter 2. Do you remember when the wise men came to see Jesus? Do you remember what Herod did in that? He had all the children, male children, 2 years old and under, slaughtered. Can we agree? Crazy? You don't believe me yet. Okay, one more. So Herod's about to die, and because he knew no one would mourn his death, he took thousands of Jewish leaders. He gathered them together in the hippodrome, and he commanded his soldiers, when I die, you slaughter all of those people, so I know there will be mourning in Jerusalem over my death. And so this guy is insane. He has a son, Herod Archelaus. And so in Herod's will, Archelaus is going to become the new king over Judea, aka and Jerusalem. And so what happens is he's going to Rome to be crowned king over Judea. And there's a delegation of Jews that say, we do not want this guy to be our king. And Archelaus is going to come back as king. And you know what he's going to do to those that refused his kingship? Yeah, have them all slaughtered. Let's read the story. Luke chapter 19, verse 12, it says this. He said, therefore, so this is Jesus's parable. He said, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 minas. A mina is 3 months' wages. And he said to them, engage in business until I come. That's very important. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So I need you to pay attention. There's a distinction between servants and citizens. We'll talk about that. Verse 15, when he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him that he might know what they gained by doing business. The first came before him saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little. You shall have authority over 10 cities. Verse 18, and the second one came saying, Lord, your mina has made 5 minas. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came saying, Lord, here's your mina, which I kept and laid away in a handkerchief. I was afraid of you because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. Pretty harsh words there. He says, you knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Lord, he already has 10 minas. And I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine, these citizens who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me." All right? Pretty gory story. I just made that rhyme. From the Lord. A couple things I want to point out is this. Number one, we noted it, is that there's a distinction between servants and citizens. And notice this, that servants, they bow the knee to the will of the master, and they call him Lord. Citizens just live in his kingdom, all right? And so there's a difference between that. And here's why I think Jesus makes the distinction, and we need to make the distinction, because God does. Like, there is kind of this idea out there today that it's just, hey, we're just all God's children. And I just got news for you. If you're new here, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just reading the Bible to you. The Bible does not say that. It says we're all God's creation, but it says this. It says that to those that receive him, that they're the ones that God gives the power to become sons and daughters of God. And so there's a distinction between God's creation and God's children. And so the reality is to refuse service of God is to refuse sonship. It's to refuse daughtership with God. And so this is not going to make me too popular either. You guys got up early, came to church, and now listen, we are all wicked sinners. Welcome to every nation, right, for our guests here. Listen, that's just all of us. And the reality is God is going to come back one day as the lion, not the lamb that was to be slain, but he's going to come. And the Bible says this, he's going to be pronounced not just king, but King of Kings. And every king in this world, they're going to throw their crown at his feet. And with the breath of his mouth, he is going to annihilate all his enemies. So that's a different picture than the little guy with the lamb around his neck, right? And so that's who Jesus is. But here's, and I know that's not popular that God would come and judge. But here's what, I feel bad for God sometimes. And I know that sounds weird, but isn't it true? When something goes wrong in the world, when there's genocide, another mass shooting, all these things, come on, don't you hear this? If there was a God, how could he allow this? How could he allow that? Why doesn't he deal with it? And so this is kind of the kind of beating of that drum. What's he doing? But then when God does judge, then there's like, well, how could he? And so my daughter is so funny. Like she got called to jury duty. Anyone ever been there? My daughter, she's like, oh, Dad, I don't want to do this. And I'm like, baby, I got you. And so she's kind of nervous, didn't know what to do. Daddy will go with you. And so I'm sitting in the cafeteria, and I'm like, baby, just tell them you're a Christian and you're a pastor's daughter. They'll never select you. And so she goes in, and it's going for a little while, and I could see her getting more and more intrigued. They ask him questions like, do you like watching CSI? And my daughter's like, yes, I do, you know? And so she's watching it. And so then I promise you, I'm sitting in the cafeteria, and she texts me. She's like, Dad, I didn't get selected. And we get in the car to drive home, and she's like, I can't believe they didn't select me. She's like, am I not good enough for them? And like, she's like upset now, you know? And so I just think that's us at times. We need to make up our mind. Listen, we want a holy God to rip away sin, death, everything that kills and destroys. We know it at the deepest level. And he's coming to do that one day. The problem is, that's us. And the great news is we're in this sweet period of time where God says, I'm offering you grace. I'm offering you mercy, an invitation to come to me and receive rescue from the wrath of God. And so that's where we are right now. And so I know it might not be real popular at this time, but that's who he is. And that's who he reveals himself to be. And so citizen, if you're a citizen and not a son, it's going to go bad. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And we don't want to be found there. But do you know, for his servants, his sons and daughters, do you know that there's another judgment throne? And it's called this, the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment throne of Christ, that will stand before him and his sons and daughters, that there will be an accounting for what we've done with what God's given us, the life he's given us. How did we steward all the gifts, skills, and talents that he's given us? And so do you remember in our parable, Jesus says this, I want you to engage in business. Other versions is going to say this, make a profit. And so God gives us gifts, and he wants us to make a spiritual profit in the earth. Please don't hear me saying money and all that kind of stuff, all right? And so he wants us to make a spiritual profit. And did you notice the one that just had, they all got the same mina, but one made 10. And I just love it. Did you hear him? He's like, and the master celebrated. He's like, this is amazing. And it's like, you imagine, well, like your kid, how many know we love our kids? Doesn't matter what they do, but your kid does something cool and you blow up. Like Paul's son, David, just got, he got like multiple scholarship offers. And I'm like, this guy is like, I'm like, Paul, quit. All right, be quiet now. We got to get into the Bible study. He's like, but my kid, man. And so, and I mean, it's unbelievable. Ryan and Tiffany, Brody in there. Brody, shake up, man. Listen, you're looking at, stand up on the chair. I give you permission, bro. Stand up. Come on, man. This guy is the wrestling champion of New Jersey. Come on. Yes. Yes. And so, like Tiffany, like she couldn't just like, she's actually at one sporting event for one kid and watching the other one on video screen and she's blowing up like this. And so why? Because we love it when our kids excel and do it. There's something pleasing. And so listen, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about God's acceptance of you. That's complete through the cross. But God's joy in you as we walk in obedience is something different. And so what are you doing? And did you notice this? He says this, hey, you were faithful in a very little thing. Just something to take note of. The mina was a three-month salary. He says, money, that's just a little thing. This is a little thing to be faithful with. But he says, because you've been faithful in that little thing, do you notice what he said? He says, I'm going to give you authority over cities. I mean, I don't know about you. I want authority on my life. But authority doesn't come until there's faithfulness. And so, like, did you ever wonder, like, man, I wish my prayers were more powerful than they are. But here's the, if you can't be faithful in a little, like, when you get behind the wheel and you're just, you know, doing this to this guy and, listen, damning this guy in the left lane doing 30, and if that's you, quit doing that, all right? But how can God afford to give you authority on your mouth if you're so faithful in a little thing? But if you can be faithful and you can steward that tongue of yours, oh my gosh, God can begin to bring power to your words. The word is exousia, authority, okay? Faithful in a little thing. Notice the second guy, he was faithful with his mina. He made 5. God's like, that's amazing, all right? Here, give him 5 more. But then there's one guy, third guy, the did nothing guy. And here's what I need you to say. Look at me in my face. We will not be a do nothing people. We will not be a do-nothing people. We are going to use what God gives. We are going to make a spiritual profit in the earth. And I love his excuses because it kind of resonates a little bit. The guy says, he's basically saying this, hey, you sow where you don't reap. Listen, the guy's delusional. Who gave you the mina, fool? The master, that's not even your mina. You're playing with it's not even your money. My father, when I played for the Carolina Hurricanes, the owner, my dad worked for his company. All right, for the record, Dad, if you're podcasting, I'm the reason you got the job. All right, not vice versa. So the owner of the team is rolling in serious coin, and he asked my dad. My dad's name is Harry. He says, Harry, we're gonna jump in my jet, we're gonna fly to Atlantic City, and we're gonna gamble and we're gonna play golf. And so flies my dad to AC, and it just gets better. He sports gives my dad $5,000. Go have a good time. I just get 25% of everything. Anything you win, you lose it all. Who cares? And there you go. That is the Christian life. Everything you have is a gift from God. We are playing with house money right now. Your health, your finances, your family, your time. It's all his that he gives to us to steward. We're playing with house money. He was afraid. I would just say this, if this guy really was afraid, how many know that dude would have done something? Like if you're afraid and know this guy's coming back, and so you can proclaim, oh yeah, I fear God and I'm all this, but your life doesn't reflect it, I would question that, all right? And so here's what I want us to see, and I promise I'm starting to land the plane here, is this. Did you notice what each of them said? They said, here, sir, your mina has made more minas. Like the mina did the work. The dudes didn't do anything. And so here's what we need to ask ourselves the question. What's the mina in the story. And here's what I'd submit to you. What is that thing that God gives to us equally to go and make a spiritual prophet in the earth? And I would submit to you, it is the Holy Spirit. That God gives us the Holy Spirit. Let me give you John chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. I'm going to read at the end of 5. It says this. It says, the work of the Holy Spirit. John 16, he says this. Yeah. Verse 5, he says this. Jesus says this. He says, but now I am going to him who sent me. Does that sound familiar? He's a king about to go away. He says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'm going to send him to you. And so the word helper in the Greek is the word parakletos. Para means alongside. Kletos is from the word kaleo. It means to call. It's one called alongside of us. The helper, the one to empower us to make a spiritual prophet in the earth. The helper. Let me share this story. Man, so some of you guys, has anyone ever heard of a Leatherman? You have. I'd never heard of this thing. Man, I'm like, so here's a Leatherman. I didn't even know I had one. I'm like, I think I got one of those things. Let me give you the story behind the Leatherman. By the way, there's all kinds of amazing things in here. There's screwdrivers, there's knives, there's bottle openers. I mean, you name it, it is in the Leatherman. It does everything. And so the story about it, it was invented by a guy named Tim Leatherman. And here's his story. He was traveling with his wife. They were newlywed throughout Europe, and they had to get like a cheap beat-up car to drive through Europe. They bought this beat-up Fiat, and it kept breaking down. And so he had like a pocket knife and just a few like little dinky tools, and he's like, if only I could get the pliers and the knife in the same tool, it would be amazing. And so he says, I'm going to give my life to doing that. And so after 2 years, he began to just try to find how he could make this thing work, and it just wouldn't work until he got to year 3, and he was about ready to quit until he got his first prototype, and he's like, I did it. I got the Leatherman. And so he actually pitched it for the next 7 years to companies, and nobody would buy it. He was refused 500 times. Until finally, in the 8th year, after tears, his life works, he's ready to quit. A little company you may have heard of, Cabela's. Cabela's bought 500, and this thing's been rip-roaring ever since. Like, I had one, I didn't even know I had one. And here's the amazing, like I said, this thing does everything. And can I just tell you this? The Holy Spirit of God, it is your Leatherman. I mean, the Spirit of God, when the Spirit of God is with you, suddenly all things become possible to you. That there's spiritual gifts in here. Did you know that? Did you know that there's sanctification, that God gives you a new heart? Did you know that there's exousia, there's power in the Holy Spirit? You know, you can get words of wisdom and words of knowledge, gift of healing, the gift of faith. All these things are present in the Parakletos, the one called alongside of us. And did I mention too, you guys remember Larry and Chrissy? So Larry and Chrissy, as they kissed each other goodbye, and as Larry began to go under the water, he hit his side, and he felt a heavy object in there. And he found out, he says, oh, my Leatherman's in there. He gets his Leatherman out, he opens up the pliers, and he begins to stick it into the ice, and he pulls himself up over and over, turns around, he grabs his wife, and he rescues and he saves his wife's life. Because he had his Leatherman with him. And you and I, we have the Holy Spirit, the one called along at our side, who's here to empower us to do all God's called us to do. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask Kim, I need you to come up, and we're going to do something. And I want to have one last verse. Izzy, Acts chapter 1, verse 6. And I'm going to ask Kim, would you just play? And we're going to just have a little time of ministry this morning. And here's what I want to do. Let me read to you Acts chapter 1. And this is Jesus is resurrected. And in the end of John's gospel, you know, Jesus, he breathes on his disciples and he says this. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. And suddenly his disciples, they are born again. Did you know when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, that God seals you with his Holy Spirit? That's Ephesians chapter 1. I like to think of it this way. This ring is a mark that I belong to another. And the Spirit rests in you. And God says, that's mine. That's mine. I put my Spirit on that one. And they belong to me. But then the resurrected Christ, he sees his disciples. And he says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. He says, so when they had come together, meaning Jesus and the disciples and the resurrected Christ, it says they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Do you see they're still asking the same question? Is it time yet? Is it time? And Jesus says, he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Do you see they're a born-again people, but God says, hey, I want to give you power to be a witness. I want to give you one that's called alongside you to help equip you to do all God's called you to do.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.